Hello and welcome to the Hornets and Heartbreak podcast. My name is Mark Bernacki and I'm here with my co-host, Tim Rogers. What's up, Tim?
What it do, Liquor Mark?
I'm doing pretty well, man. Today we're going to be doing player grades based off of our expectations going into the season, based off how they perform this season for all the players on our team. I'm a professional chess teacher, Tim, so I like to think I have a little bit of experience here, even though I don't really, you know, technically give out grades. I have the experience of teaching, and if I needed to give out grades, I could. So I have a little bit of expertise here for this assignment.
I also edit papers as a part-time job, so I'm not giving out grades, but yeah, I'm strict on the youth. And I have to say, my grades here, so these player grades will be based on our expectations going into the season, into this season that just passed. And I have a C. C is average. Like, I don't view that as bad. I would say you performed as expected. So just, you know, if the grades seem a little harsh, just know C is the bar. Like, oh, he was good. It's not an automatic B.
Yeah. And I think that me and you probably had like slightly different grading scales. You know, I'm the nice teacher. I'm going to give out a little bit better grades than Tim is probably. I haven't seen Tim's grades, but just by talking to you before the podcast and just now, I'm kind of getting that sense that I'm going to have better grades than you did. And let's get started with LaMelo Ball first. I had him in A-, Tim. All-star season this season, which was, you know, incredible. He performed above expectations, I'd say. He averaged 20 points, 7.6 assists, and 6.7 rebounds per game. Significantly improved his three-point shooting, which ended the year at 39%. LaMelo is now a bona fide good shooter from three, which is crazy. That's the reason he's an A-. But he still has his flaws, so I didn't give him quite the A or the A-plus potentially, because his flaws can be jarring. From 3 to 10 feet, he shot 39.8%, which is not good, Tim. That's not good from 3 to 10 feet. He also wasn't great around the rim. This was also an issue last season. And until he can figure out his finishing around the basket, he's going to remain, you know, in that middle tier of like star point guards, not quite on the Ja Morant, Trae Young tier. And, you know, he's only 20 years old, so I don't hold that against him or anything, but he's not quite at an A because of those reasons. Also, if your team loses in the play-in tournament and you're the best player on the team and we lose by 30 points, some of that responsibility falls on LaMelo. So the end of the season was not great, and a little bit of that falls on his shoulders.
I think that's fair. The first thing I had is that he cemented that the shooting is, in fact, real, which is very good. I gave him a B-plus, thinking either B or B-plus, because, you know, it was a third pick in the draft. You know, this progression was expected. But, I mean, he still actually went out there and did the work, still pretty lost on defense. And, the two-point percentage going down from his rookie year, you know, obviously we've been harping on that all season. I think with time, you know, again, just have to let him fill out. But the last 20 games of the season, he finally kind of turned into a winning player. Like, not just, oh man, that was a really good third quarter. It's like, no, he was just putting together full games, you know, being the best player on the court. So that was a very promising. Yeah, B-plus, very good for LaMelo.
Yeah, one more thing on that, what you said about like finishing around the rim. Last year, we were like, oh man, LaMelo's going to put on some muscle and come in this year and be better at finishing around the rim. He got a little bit worse. And so that's not great. Like, I hope this offseason he does put on just like a little bit of weight. You don't want to see too much pounds put on and have an Anthony Davis situation. But, he could add a little bit of muscle and get better at finishing at the rim. That's really the big thing with him on offense. Defensively, like you said, he can still get lost a little bit. I think that's expected for players that are 20 years old. I don't think that's a big issue at all. So I don't really hold that against him. It's mostly the inside finishing for me that prevents him from being like a full A. Anything else on LaMelo?
No, yeah, but I agree with everything you said. And yeah, I mean, 20 is just really young. I mean, I think he's, you know, the same age as Cade Cunningham, most of the guys from this draft class, you know, the rookies this year. So yeah, I mean, extremely, extremely, I mean, even in 5 years, he'll still be young.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%. Let's move on to our next player on the list, Miles Bridges. He got my lone A. He got my highest grade on this list, Tim. He saw a jump from 13 points per game to 20 points per game this season. Was in the running for most improved player, you know, kind of. He was a candidate. If you had told me before the season that Miles Bridges would average 20 points per game, I would have told you you're crazy. I would have not believed you. because he had not shown signs of that really, except at the end of last season. 20 points per game over the course of a full season is crazy. He's the bona fide second best player on the team. That's the second time I've used that word, bona fide. I need to expand my vocabulary here. But, you know, he did shoot 33% on threes this season compared to 40% last year. So that's something you could hold against him. But I don't, because of the jump in just scoring and just becoming the clear second best player on our team. That's our core for the future, LaMelo and Miles. And before the season, Miles and PJ, you could have like kind of compared them. You know, you could have said they're like relatively equal. Now it's very clear there's a gap there. And Miles has solidified himself, like I said, as the second most important player on our team.
Yeah, I would completely agree. Miles got my highest grade of any player. Got an A-. Okay. And yeah, while the shooting did fall off, you know, that's like a little bit of a concern. But the trade-off being the fact that he can now actually create off the dribble and can like abuse mismatches, whether it be a big guy on him or a small guy, I think is more promising than being a good spot-up shooter for this team. And yeah, he is like a legitimate number two. Like, you know, it was fun, you know, after last year, like, oh, him and LaMelo have really nice chemistry. But now it's like, oh my God, like, you know, he can actually be our second best player. Like, you know, step on offense and defensively, I thought he got a lot better where he always, it always seemed like he should be a good defensive player, you know, very athletic, good size, but now he actually has the strength to back it up and even had some flashes of like really solid rim protection, good help defender. Yeah. But I don't think that, you know, this season it would have been nice if Miles shot 40%, but that's something I'm definitely looking forward next year because it's kind of gone up and down and up and down the shooting. So I assume it's probably somewhere in the middle around like a 35% shooter, which with everything else he has, that's a great player.
Completely agree. Third player on our list, Gordon Hayward. This is where it starts to get dark. Got two A's/B's passing grades here. Gordon Hayward for us, the average is going to come in somewhere in the failing to like your parents aren't happy with it range, right? Gordon Hayward, D+ for me. He played 49 games. Which is not that many, but then I started thinking about it and I'm like, how many did we really expect? I don't know, something like 60, something like that, 58. So he was definitely, you know, less games than expected, but not by that many, right? You can kind of expect an injury with Gordon Hayward, although it was worse than we anticipated. The reason why he has a lower grade is not just that. He also averaged 15.9 points per game, which is the lowest total he's had since the 18-19 season, which was his first season back from injury in Boston. Last year, he averaged 19.6. That's like almost a 4-point drop off. And when you're making $30 million per year to score 16 points per game for half of the games in the NBA season, it just doesn't make sense. So his contract works against him here with this grade as well. In terms of expectations, slightly higher than that for sure for Gordon Hayward. So he gets a D+. It's not quite an F. Like he still was like relatively efficient and relatively good in his minutes played, but there just weren't enough minutes and he was worse than expected.
Yeah. I have him at a C-, and that's where expectations come in. As you said, where I was like, yeah, you know, 55 games. Like that's kind of what I had him penciled in for and what I have going forwards. I think, you know, his defense was definitely worse this year. And, as you said, it's really just was kind of concerning that even when he was healthy, he was like our third best player and he'd kind of been propped up by the win loss record with him out. That's almost like the strongest case he has for the Hornets these last 2 years. So if we couldn't win, you know, can't win without him. And now we can, we've shown that we can. And, yeah, just having two more years of this contract looming over, pretty disappointing, I would say. His skill set at this point, just not super useful for us with Miles taking off. Yeah, C-, and really just can't wait for the Gordy era to be over.
Okay, completely agree. This next one, I feel like we might disagree. Terry Rozier, what did you have for Terry?
I gave Terry a C+.
Okay, I gave him a B+. So that's probably our biggest difference that we've had so far. He had a slightly worse year than last year. 1 point less per game, 1.5% worse from three, 0.5% worse from the field. And I've seen some people like on social media saying that Terry had a bad year. And I definitely disagree with that notion. I think that Terry was so good last year that you could reasonably expect some sort of drop this season. And with LaMelo and Miles making the leap, he was asked to do significantly less than this this season. He also started the year pretty terribly, and he turned it around to end the year with like pretty good numbers, pretty on par with what he was at last year. And he's made such big leaps the previous two seasons that I don't really hold it against him that he was slightly worse this year. And like, was he noticeably worse when watching the games? No, he was the same Terry he was last year. I think that bad start to the season kind of just dragged his numbers down for the whole season. And you know, he's 27. It's not like he's 21 like these other guys. Like, he's not super young. He's not necessarily expected to get that much better year to year. Terry Rozier, maybe B plus is a little high. Maybe I'll bring it down to a B here on the podcast. But he did just pretty much what I expected, which is good enough. Give him a B. I'm a nice teacher to him.
Yeah, see, I've actually moved my grade down to just flat C. and it's just like, you know, this is like kind of why, you know, listeners have noticed we never really talk about Terry Rozier on the podcast. And it's like, yeah, this was a solid season, scored about 20 a game, always misses a couple open passes per game, isn't a turnstile on defense, but isn't really good either. Solid distributor. Just like, yeah, when Terry gets 22 points, it looks really good. And when he has 13 points, you just don't really notice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He is kind of the least like noticeable slash like least to talk about player on the team because he just kind of does what he does.
Like, did he make six threes or did he miss his shots? Like, so he's doing, but I will say it is nice how malleable he is, where with Miles taking on, you know, so much more dribbling responsibilities, you can kind of play like, as long as Terry isn't the lead guard, he can really play with anyone. Like, you know, he's not big, but he has like solid enough size to guard guards. Like, and yeah, he's a great spot up shooter.
He doesn't like dribble the ball too much either. Like he did a little bit more of that last year where it was like, Terry, maybe you need to stop handling the ball so much. He also averaged 4.5 assists this year, which is higher than last year. So that's good. He passed the ball a little bit better this season. And like you said, with how malleable he is, I appreciate that. I appreciate a player who's not going to like get pissed when Miles and LaMelo are handling the ball more. He's fine with it. He's just going to do his thing. He's just going to shoot threes and make them at a high rate. So yeah, Terry Rozier, B for me, C for you. If I move down to a B minus, will you move down to a C minus? How does this
work? No, I'm going to stick, you know, C is as expected. As I said, yeah, I think one lesson we did learn revolving, or surrounding Terry this year is, really just can't be like our backup point guard. Those lineups were kind of a disaster. And I don't think that's all Terry's fault. I mean, I just think that was a pretty poorly designed backup unit with no passing or playmaking whatsoever. But yeah, we'll definitely look for, that's why IT was such a fresh breath of fresh air when he came in. So that's just what, you know, Terry, he's not perfect, but, you know, very solid two guard.
All right, moving on. Mason Plumlee, my lowest grade, F. If you go back and listen to our preseason thoughts on Mason, we actually thought it was a pretty good signing. Like, you know, we were excited. We thought we had like an average level center. He then proceeded to average the lowest points per game of his entire career. He shot 39% from the free throw line. And it's not like we expected much from Mason, Tim, but we did expect, like I said, like slightly below average center play from Mason Plumlee, the triple double machine in Detroit, right? He did not even perform like the 25th best center in the league. He was pretty bad compared to our expectations. And yeah, I could not be more out on Mason Plumlee as the future center. F might be a little bit harsh. I might have some, you know, biases here, but I'm giving him an F. He's failing Mark's class.
Yeah, this is a guy where like I was like trying to factor in expectations a lot, and I still gave him an F. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that you could make a case that he was the worst offensive center in the league last year. I think he took 10 shots two times, and one of those was in the first game. So I mean, he had like a 60 game stretch where he didn't even get up 10 shots in a game. And obviously you don't want to run your offense through Plumlee, but it would be nice if he could give anything, wasn't really effective on the roll. You know, he made some nice passes, but he also just held onto the ball for too long. And on like his defensive numbers were good. I don't really believe it. That's something where, you know, I'm going to trust the eye test on this. I thought Plumlee is like below average on defense. I hope he is not on the team next year. With Big Jim gone, yeah, I mean, I can't stand Plumlee. I don't think he's a good basketball player at all.
Yep, agree. PJ Washington, I gave him a B-. Ended the year way better than he started the year. but I don't want to let recency bias factor into my ratings too much here. He averaged the fewest minutes of his career, only 27, fewest points per game at 10.3, with the previous year being 12.9. His lowest three-point percentage of his career by a couple percentage points. So he was down in those three statistical categories, but he averaged the highest two-point percentage of his career at 60.6, which is actually quite good, and the fewest turnovers of his career as well. So PJ saw slight drops in his usage. At times, he could have had games where he disappeared, but at times, he was super valuable in the closing minutes of the game, making big defensive plays or hitting clutch threes. So, you know, he gets a B-minus for this year. And I think it's just kind of, we got to realize what PJ is. I don't think he's ever going to be like a great ball handler or a playmaker. From a third year guy, you might want to see a little bit more of a leap. But I think this is just sort of what PJ is going to be. He could be a very good defender, a very good three-point shooter. And, you know, he has the opportunity to be a great role player, but he's not going to be like a star player like we might have thought after his rookie year.
Yeah, I gave PJ a B. And part of that was, I mean, he did come on really strong at the end of the season after really disappointing probably first like 3 months. I don't know if it was just, you know, trying to find his footing with the new big man. But yeah, as you said, role player, he just kind of played, you know, like the last 20 games, his passing by far the best of his career, actually making like passes ahead of time, which we had not seen before. But he just seems like a player that literally every team in the league would be better if they had PJ Washington.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of these guys that are that good on defense, you know, they can shoot corner threes, but like PJ can legitimately shoot from anywhere around the line. Like, he doesn't have super deep range, but like he can hit from the top of the key. It's not like a PJ Tucker situation. And I feel like he went from being like the obvious odd man out of our young core to kind of playing his way back into like, oh yeah, let's definitely re-sign PJ.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I said I didn't want to let recency bias factor in too much, but the way you end the season is more important than the way you start the season, right? That is going to affect how we view the players, you know, right now. The past 30 games just matter more for our perception of that player. And he did have a very good end of the year. And like you said, like, let's definitely keep PJ around. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't need to hold the ball. He doesn't need to make plays with the ball in his hands. He just needs to be an off-ball scorer and a good defender. And that's, he did a pretty good job of that this year. So I gave him a B minus. You know, he didn't improve that much from last year in various statistical categories, as I mentioned, but eye test, he had a good season, I think. And you know, he just fit in with the team very well.
Yeah. And I think the number one most important thing that he flashed, like, that passing, I mean, his passing was just so bad his first two seasons. And then, you know, like, to be thrown around, not that it was just like, oh, he had six assists in this game. Like, that's crazy. I haven't seen that before. But it was just a consistent thing of like, you know, he used to kind of just, if he did dribble, you almost knew he was going to shoot the ball. And once he got it in, it's almost like he got like nervous a little bit. But then it seemed like the game started to slow down for him a little bit. Really good chemistry with Miles. He and LaMelo developed a nice pick and roll chemistry down the stretch of the season. So yeah, I just think it's promising. Another just malleable player who's kind of perfect to fit around two more ball dominant guys in LaMelo and Miles.
All right, I'm going to let you take the next one to start here, Tim. Kelly Oubre Jr., what do you have?
Kelly Oubre, I gave an F. another player where my expectations were just so low coming into the season, and he just couldn't surpass such a low bar. I'm calling it now. He's my least favorite Hornets player of all time to watch. We might come back to that at a later date. Maybe we'll make that, you know, a little segment of the pod. He never passes the ball. He can't finish. He has to have led the league in missed dunks this season. He's clueless on defense, like that take foul on Tatum when he just didn't realize we were in the bonus, like 3 seconds left. Just lowest IQ on the team, can't dribble at all, terrible shot selection, somehow was playing his way out of a rotation that was missing Gordon Hayward. Kelly Oubre is just fucking terrible. Like, all I heard about it for a long time, but...
Yeah, so I had to have a little bit of a moment of self-reflection here, Tim. And while I agree with a lot of things that you just said, I gave him a C. You got to factor in the entire season. He had a great start to the year. First 4 months of the season, 16.7 points per game, 37% from three, 45.5% from the field. Legit sixth man of the year candidate at that point in time. Last 3 months of the season, dark, dark times, Tim. 12.5 points per game, 30% from three, 41% from the field. Big drop off there. But when you look at his final season numbers, this was actually Kelly's most efficient season somehow. He shot his highest effective field goal percentage of his career, including that one season where he averaged 18 points per game in Phoenix. It felt so terrible to end the year, and I was so out on Kelly. I'm still pretty out on Kelly, but I do think the end of the season, you know, kind of swayed me a little bit too much, a little bit too negative on Kelly. When you start to look at the whole picture, you can kind of see him coming back next year and starting off like he did at the beginning of last year. So not an F for me, just a C.
I will counter with that.
Okay.
Was one of the worst rotation players in the league for three solid months, and he had a high usage and never passed the ball, and is terrible on defense.
Yes, one assist per game in the last 3 months of the season. That is awful. I agree with you, but when you start to look at like our expectations for him going into the season, that's why I gave him a C, because like objectively he did better than he did previously. And with
I'm even factoring in expectations. And I think, you know, we have I have a tweet out there somewhere where it's like in the preseason, like, man, Kelly Oubre is going to be the most frustrating player to watch on the Hornets. So that was my expectations going into the season, and still give him an F.
Yes, watching him play, like, you can see he somehow still got like 6 minute of the year votes from media members, which is insane. And you can see how they did that, because they looked at his statistical profile and they voted for him based off that. When you actually watch it, it's terrible, right? You have to actually watch the Hornets day in and day out to understand the pain of watching Kelly Oubre Jr. With that being said, still a C. Expectations were met, if not exceeded.
Whew.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. Expectations. I disagree.
Okay. Cody Martin next. What do you have for Cody Martin, Tim?
I have Cody Martin is my second highest grade. He's a B+.
Nice.
Went from hating him last season to him turning into one of my favorite players on the team. Obviously, the three-point shooting at the beginning of the season was not sustainable, and it was on a pretty low volume. But at this point, I'm pretty confident. Like, when he's shooting an open three, I'm like, okay, like, you know, I'm not covering my eyes anymore. He stopped the over-dribbling that was just, like, my least favorite part of his game last season. I just think he's a solid glue guy. You know, on an actual team, he's probably, like, a 10th man. But, I mean, that's a pretty solid find for a second-round pick. All in on Cody Martin. What do you got?
All right, as much as it pains me to give him a positive grade, he did do better than expectations. B+, just like you. I want to penalize him for James Borrego giving him too many minutes, but that's not Cody's fault. It does make me dislike Cody a little bit more than I probably should. The fact that he's taken away minutes from Monk last season and then Book Knight this season, but objectively he's a B+. He did better than we expected. He averaged like 8 points per game this year, which is pretty solid, for Cody Martin, somebody who we expected to be like a nothing on offense. And he still gets those big defensive plays, and he can be enjoyable to watch at times, Tim, I'll give it to you. But just decrease his minutes, whoever the new coach is. Please bring them down to like 15. They should not be as high as they are right now. We need to give some run to our younger players. Cody Martin's sneaky kind of old for like a third-year player. That's why I dislike Cody Martin. It's because he gets too much minutes. It's not because of his actual play on the court. Jalen McDaniels gave a C+. Not a bad year. I thought he was solid, but with a player in his third season, you maybe want to see a little bit more improvement. He did shoot 38% on threes. At times was a knockdown corner three-point shooter. Just didn't get quite a consistent enough run for me to have strong opinions on Jalen. Need to see more from him. And he had that injury this year, which kind of shook his minutes up. And then when he came back, he was bad for like a solid 2 weeks straight. I want to see more from Jalen this next year. It'll be interesting to see if he's like actually a part of the rotation next year. I could see his minutes going up to like 20 or something like that, or I could see him just completely falling out with the next coach.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. We'll be interesting to see how the next coach treats Jalen. I gave him a D actually, because okay, I was a little higher on him coming into this season. You know, obviously he did miss a big chunk of the season, as you mentioned, with that ankle injury, but just overall didn't really progress that much, or really at all, I would say. not really a believer in his 3-point shooting. You know, it's about 2 attempts a game. I don't think the shot looks that good. Very like mechanical, doesn't seem like he's super confident. He does have like really like tantalizing like physical gifts, but just doesn't really apply them, not really able to because he can't dribble very well at all. Yeah, kind of thought that he would make a little bit more of a jump, but not every player can do that.
Cool. Nick Richards, I gave him a C, completely where I thought he would be. And Tim, I have no other thoughts.
Yeah, I have a C minus, and that's because there was a 5-day span where like I talked myself into Nick Richards mid-season, and then reality kind of hit me. He just always looks tired, not really athletic, not sure what he does well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a stretch where we're like, oh, defensive center. But yeah, no. Him on offense, his thing where he like inbounds the ball to the other team consistently, that's always head scratching. Yeah. No other thoughts on Nick Richards.
I have a general thought where I feel like as a big man, if you're that bad on offense, people just assume you must be really good on defense. And just not the case.
Yeah, and he might not be back next season. We've talked about that. He has a team option. I'm not sure we're going to pick that up. We'll have to wait and see.
We need them roster spots.
Montrezl Harrell. I gave him a C, Tim. Maybe I should lower it to a C minus, actually, on the podcast. In his 25 games with us, he only averaged 11.4 points per game, which is the lowest points per game total on his basketball reference page since the 17-18 season, so 4 years ago. And when we got him originally, it was super hyped for like a week, and it was a fun experience having him on the team. But it also was short-lived. You know, we're probably not bringing him back next year. And I think after the first few games, he really fell off after making an impact for, like I said, just that first couple weeks. It was nice to have him on the roster as a sixth man, but then he just like kind of faded towards the end of the year. And yeah, C minus for Harrell. What do you got?
I have a C minus as well. Yeah, I mean, awesome when he first came. Definitely like a big bolt of energy. We were excited to see him and LaMelo work in the pick and roll, which, you know, did have its success, certainly. And this is one of those, you know, there's a couple players where it's hard to parse out like how much of this was James Borrego and how much was actually them. But yes, you have to be pretty bad on defense for even James Borrego to be like, ah, man, we really can't give you any run. But yeah, I mean, Trez, you know, still the best finishing big we've had since Al Jefferson. So, I mean, it was just nice to see someone make layups.
Yes,
I have to say, which is a very low bar. But yeah, I saw he's had some cryptic tweets lately, so it doesn't seem as though he'll be returning home. But he might not have anywhere else to go.
Yeah, yeah, he has had some cryptic tweets on Twitter the past couple of days. I think he said, like, it feels bad to be feel disposable or something like that. Which could be in reference to something completely not basketball related, or it could be that he got a whiff of, you know, he's not going to be re-signed this offseason. Isaiah Thomas, the other player we acquired around the same time as Trez, I'm giving him a B+, Tim. Expectations were that it would be a 10-day contract and he would come in and not even play. And he wound up playing an important role in filling the backup point guard void and being a bit of a spark plug off the bench. Good for IT. I hope we re-sign him for the veterans minimum this offseason. And, you know, like we said earlier, the Terry Rozier backup point guard lineups were not working, but the IT backup point guard lineups did work. And he was better than Ish Smith. So I give him a B+.
Yeah, I gave him a B. Super cool story. And yeah, just gave us exactly what we asked for him to do. It's like, we were just like, please, we need some type of creation on the second unit. He was capable of doing that. Obviously, the defense is terrible. His finishing is just totally shot. But yeah, I mean, he's capable of creating his own shot, creating shots for others. I enjoyed him. And yeah, I wouldn't be mad if he came back next year. But if he doesn't, you know, he's going out on top. And yeah, it seemed like all the young guys really liked him and respected him. So, I mean, just a good proactive move by Kupchak to identify that we did need a backup point guard. So that's promising.
Yeah, and also something about having a short point guard in Charlotte. It looks nice having a Hornets jersey on a small point guard.
It looks nice.
All right, and now onto our rookies. And a little bit of a caveat here. I think you really could go any direction with these, you know, grades because none of them played that much, right? So you could say like, "Oh, Book Knight showed flashes," like give him a C. But like, you know, these grades are not going to be that accurate just because we didn't have that much to see from them, right? So I gave James Bouknight a D+ because I expected him to average 20 minutes per game. And he played in 31 games total, only eclipsing 20 minutes six times in those 31 games. He barely played it all this year. Part of that's got to go to James Borrego for not playing him, but also part of it goes to Bouknight, who clearly was immature this season and had his flare-ups and, you know, arguments with the coach, a little bit of immaturity on social media we've seen as well. You know, I'm pulling for him. I'm hoping he comes back next year ready to go. He's posting clips on social media at the gym before it even opens, Tim, as you told me about down in Miami. So I'm hoping he comes back next year and is a part of the rotation, but there's just nothing to really grade here. And so based off of him not getting any minutes, I have to give him some of that blame, D+.
Yeah, I gave him just a solid D. In those six games where he played more than 20 minutes, he was good for 15 points a game, 42% from three, obviously super small sample size. One disappointing thing is, you know, his highlights look really good, but his handle is kind of a bigger issue than people are talking about. It's very loose right now. You know, easy to comp him to Jordan Poole, to the scoring guards, but Poole kind of has some of the same problems where, like, when it works, it looks really nice, but a lot of times, you know, just losing his own dribble. Yeah, the maturity issue is kind of bad, but again, Bouknight and I are good friends from when we met at that gas station, so I can't be too hard on him. But yeah, you know, hopefully it'll be interesting to see how these rookies come back, or I guess now they'll be second year guys after campaigning to get their coach fired. Probably would like to show a little bit more on the court.
Yes, agree. So what'd you have for Kai Jones?
Kai Jones, I gave a C+.
C+. I gave him a C. He had a bit more highlight plays in both the G League and the actual NBA than Bouknight. Also, expectations were a little bit lower for Kai Jones. He was not supposed to be an NBA ready player. And he does seem to have some issues with team chemistry, similar to James Bouknight. And he liked a comment on Instagram that was just shitting on James Borrego. And then, Tim, you told me something the other day about Kai Jones. What happened with him and LaMelo?
Kai Jones apparently unfollowed LaMelo on Instagram and removed pictures of he and LaMelo hanging out.
Yeah, so that's wild. I have no idea what's going on with that situation. Maybe going to lower it to a C- here on the podcast just because of that. I was fine-ish with him not getting along with James Borrego, but you got to get along with LaMelo Ball. I'm not sure what's up with that. So we'll see what happens with Kai this offseason. JT Thor, I gave him a B+. Showed a lot of defensive potential in his limited minutes. Was objectively our best rookie in the NBA this season. And he was the second-round pick. Good upside, good showing from JT.
Yeah, I gave JT a B. And this is one of those where, like, I think that Borrego should have just been a little more aggressive and started to give him more minutes. I mean, I think there were times where he looked like our best defensive big man. Going forward, very excited to see him on the team. Got great length, good foot speed. And guys are already kind of like, when they get, like, ISO'd on him, they pass the ball away a lot of times. They're like, wow, who the hell is this guy? Like, what's going on here? So, yeah, I think Thor is very promising. Again, the youngest player from his draft class as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, for what he was given opportunity wise, I think he took it and ran with it.
Cool. Honorable mentions here, Ish Smith and Vernon Carey Jr. on the team for the majority of the season, then traded away to the Wizards. I have no thoughts.
Ish Smith, I gave an F to, and that's because I had lofty expectations for Ish coming into this season, thought he would be the ideal backup point guard, but turned out to just be a faster Brad Wanamaker. So that was pretty disappointing, but was awesome in that one early Nets game where we had to come back and LaMelo, yeah, didn't play in the fourth. So that, and Vern also gets an F, RIP Black Hole Vern. And when we played the Wizards later this season, I didn't recognize him at first because he was like never on the court. And so then like I focused in on him for like 6 minutes and I was like, oh, this guy really does suck. Like now that he's on another team, you know, don't have to be biased at all. I was like, oh my God. Like, can't believe we dedicated an episode to this guy.
Yeah, there will always be that episode from last year where he dropped 20 points on the Nets. All right, coaching candidates for the Hornets were leaked out from a Woj bomb. Mike D'Antoni, Kenny Atkinson, Darvin Ham, and Sean Sweeney were in the first Woj tweet. And I have to say, Tim, I was pretty excited with that. I'd be happy with any of those guys as our next head coach. We had three of them talked about on the previous podcast. I thought Mike D'Antoni was a pipe dream, but it seems like that might actually be one of the most likely guys for us to get. So I'm super excited about that. And then Woj tweeted out that we were also interviewing Charles Lee and David Vanterpool. And I was like, who? Right? I was like, who are those dudes? So not as excited about those two guys. Would be more happy with the first four people listed for sure.
Let's give a little bit of background. Was it Charles Ham?
Charles Lee.
Charles Lee. He's been Mike Budenholzer's number two in Atlanta and Milwaukee. So that's interesting. And Vanterpool was the assistant coach on the Trailblazers and is kind of credited with being Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum's like go-to coach. So it would be interesting for guard development. You know, talked about Terry Stotts could fall somewhere in that realm as well. You know, both Blazers guys. But yeah, the report, the D'Antoni stuff, you know, some of the bigger names, that seems as though something to kind of appease a fan base. Like, hey, we tried. Like, you know, I know we ended up with this assistant that you guys haven't heard of after Ryan Borrego, but like, man, we were this close to D'Antoni. And it should be noted that D'Antoni used to work with Mitch Kupchak. Yes. On the Lakers 2012-14.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of D'Antoni buzz with D'Antoni going to the Hornets. I'm rooting for it. And I'd be happy with Atkinson, Ham, and Sweeney as well. All people that, you know, have been around the league for a long time. And Ham has been like a head coaching candidate for many years. We didn't talk about him last podcast. I'd probably have him third in that power rankings. I'd go D'Antoni and then Atkinson. And then Ham, Sweeney, followed by the two new guys.
Yeah, see, I'm, you know, thinking about it more and more, kind of out on Atkinson a little bit. It's like, oh man, it's cool. You made the playoffs with D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie. What a cute story. But I don't know. It's like, is that really like enough to just like, you know, justify like, oh no, people kind of talk about him like he's Eric Spoelstra. But it's like, yeah. Okay, dude, like, you know, you had like a couple all right defenses anchored by Jared Allen, who we now know is a very good player. Granted, he was younger back then, but yeah, I mean, I think he's fine. I wouldn't be super excited about it. Those offenses were kind of ugly. I know they didn't have a lot of talent, but they pretty much were just letting D'Lo and Spencer Dinwiddie cook. So, I mean, I would like something maybe a little more creative from our guys, but you know, we'll see. Who knows?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who we go with. Definitely looking forward to that. Looking forward to the end of these, the second round. The second round's been pretty entertaining. It's kind of disappointing that we have like one day with the best series, right? With the Warriors and Grizzlies and the Bucks and Celtics. And then the other day is the two series that are 2-0 right now. I'm hoping the Mavs can make a little bit more noise against the Suns while I have no faith in the 76ers. Yeah. But shout out to all of our Patreon supporters, Xavier Harvin, TC Cunningham, Brandon Garcia, Austin Johnson, Isaac Black, Dan Joseph, Aaron Barton, and Caitlin Ferland. I said Patreon, but Patreon and Winnow. You guys can find the link for our Winnow in the show notes. Subscribe to get more text updates on the Hornets and on the playoffs in general.
Yeah, thank you to everyone that's taken the time to listen this far into the episode. We appreciate it. And if you could be so kind as to rate, review, share, and subscribe, we'd appreciate that as well.
Yeah. And also anybody who's listening and wants to reach out just to say like, hey, I enjoyed this episode, or like, hey, I disagree with this take, do that. Hit us up on social media at Hornets Podcast, Twitter and Instagram at Hornets Podcast. Again, me and Tim, you know, it makes our day when we get a message from somebody who's like, hey, I really like today's episode, or like longtime fan, something like that. We've gotten a few of those messages recently and it's been awesome to see. So appreciate everybody for listening.
And appreciate whoever sent that message asking Mark why he hated Trae Young. Asking the important questions.
I think that one was directed towards you, Tim. All right. It's been real, bro.
All right. It's been real. Be safe out there. Look, Mark.
Peace.
Peace.